So Luke chapter 18, and we're going to start at verse 9 to 14. So it's a parable that Jesus told. It's a good parable. I've actually done this sermon a few times, so I'm just giving that up front, but it's completely different than how I did it last time. So every time I look at it, you'd think so, but not necessarily. So I actually did this sermon for Tyndale Bible College. I had to prove that I could preach, I think. So, but it's not the same one, so don't worry. Same verse though. Luke 18, 9 to 14. Hey?
God's word has different meanings.
No. You just notice more things when you get older. So you sort of, change a few things around. So different illustrations. It's got Facebook now in the illustration. Didn't use it back then. not 10 years ago. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read the passage now, Martin. Is that all right? Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18, 9 to 14. Okay, and he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Great passage. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word that you have for us today, word from you, and we pray that as we understand this passage, you will speak to our hearts, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just enable us to see ourselves, see you, and see your glory. And we pray this through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Well, we live in a culture that thrives on achievements. Well, I reckon we do anyway. You might disagree with me. We often like boasting about things we've done. You only got to look at Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. I haven't looked at Instagram or Snapchat. But I'm sure if you looked on them, you may occasionally come across a sort of boasting about ourselves. You may have a rare picture now and again, maybe of something you've cooked or a dining experience. Maybe some random adventure or holiday. Okay, maybe, just maybe. I think I'm onto something here. Because I think something about us, we love sharing, we love telling the world what great experiences we are having. Something about that. And I think as we like to sort of show that, maybe I could say impressive life, impressive things we're doing, I think it's very hard to prevent this way of thinking to not influence our worship of God. I think it's all too easy to see maybe God like social media. You want to post and show God all the great achievements, all the great successes you've been doing. And it would be easy to think that way of thinking or doing things when it comes to impressing God, that we need to be impressing God with all the great things we've been doing. Get God to maybe give us some likes, some little love hearts, some little smiles, whatever it is. But whatever you may think can impress God in our worship, Jesus is teaching us the complete opposite in 18, complete opposite to that. Jesus wants us to open our eyes to see that we can't impress God with our achievements, that we can't place our trust and hope in ourselves, but rather we throw ourselves at the mercy of God. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us there. So there are 2 points, which I have got on the overheads if you click them up. But that's okay if you can't find them. They're just a point. It's okay. There are 2 points. If you just click it up, it'll probably come up. The little PowerPoint one. The last one. 2 points. What doesn't justify us may come up. And what doesn't justify us is the first point. And what does justify us? You can write it down anyway if that doesn't pop up. Got it? There you go. Okay. Okay, now the idea of being justified is for the guilty to be declared innocent, to be declared not guilty before God. Okay, so let's have a look at the first point. What doesn't justify us? Well, I'm sure those around the time of Jesus wouldn't have probably had a problem with this Pharisee's prayer. In Deuteronomy 26, verses 12 to 15, it mentions that it's okay to tell God what you've been doing, what you've done. This is what it reads. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of tithing, giving it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless and the widows, so that they may eat within your town and be filled. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion out of my house, and moreover, I have given it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless and the widow, according to all your commandment that you have commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten of the tithe while I was mourning, or removed any of it while I was unclean, or offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God. I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the ground that you have given us, as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So there's nothing wrong for a Israelite for that particular time telling God they've been faithful in their obedience. There's nothing wrong with pleasing God through religious actions. But Jesus' story is more than just simply pleasing God through obedience. This is a story of exalting ourselves. This is a story of showing contempt over others. This is a story about trying to impress God and particularly impress others. It's the boasting of how religious we are, whilst pointing out how unreligious other people are. Basically, you're saying to God, I'm great, and everyone else is a loser. And Jesus tells us exactly why he gives this parable in his opening verse. He told, verse 9, he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. You know, very easy to read the Bible, tells you what it's going to tell you. Generally pretty easy to understand. Jesus is speaking to those who trusted in themselves. These were the religious elite leaders at the time. They trusted in their religious achievements. If Facebook would have existed, they would have posted all their achievements every day on it. And to understand the story, the Pharisees were the teachers, the upholders of God's law. They held to strict religious traditions. They were the most pious religious men in Israel at the time. But back then, there were no Facebook, so what they did is in the public places, they would impress people with their long prayers, or they would impress people of how much they were giving in the temple, or they would fast more than the Old Testament law is required. And when they fast, they made sure people knew about it. They put on the fasting sad face and made themselves a bit of a spectacle. They added their own rules to what's holiness. And so they added their own rules to what they think should be holiness by adding more things, and then they compared themselves, not with what God says, but with their own self-made religious list. Now, our life and culture can be like that, can't it? I can be a bit like that. We want to boast about something. We want to sort of create our own list of values, important things, maybe religious, maybe cultural, maybe attach ourselves to some great cause. And we build our lives around these values. And so we're either boasting in the things that we do or the things we don't do. Either I'm this kind of person, woo, look at me, or I'm not like that. It could be the activities we pursue. It could be things like social justice, serving the community. We boast in what we do or the things we don't do. Need a water. Maybe if you don't follow Jesus, maybe it's things like, we boast into things like, I don't steal, I don't take drugs, I'm not a murderer. If you're an adult, maybe it's, my kids are good at school and they don't take drugs, so they're not like other kids. We boast in something. I've heard it when I talk to parents sometimes, particularly when their kids aren't no longer in church and in Christ. If it's not ourselves we boast in our children, or our families, our success, our careers, our educations, our sporting abilities, whatever it is. We all have or want things that we can boast in. We need to find something to boast in, and Jesus knows that. We are very hardwired, I think, to boast and try and impress each other. We can even boast in how humble we are sometimes as Christians. We have within us a value system, a grid, that we are ticking and crossing in our mind. We are crossing and ticking that same list on others. We're sitting there going, that person's not like me, they don't do this, they don't do that. And as we evaluate their life against our self-righteous little list we've created, we judge people, we have contempt with people. There may be some good things on our list, but often, sometimes when we're challenged, there may be many things on there not Christian. Just things we've picked up along the way that seem Christian, but they're not Christian. There are many things we believe that are on our list that are good, but we have no idea where they've come from, because they seem to be absent in God's word and maybe just traditions we've picked up. And yet within this, we really hold on strong. We're strong, we're emotional, we're pride, we really hold on to these things, and we use it to exalt ourselves. We use it to make ourselves feel good whilst mocking other people at the same time. Now, if we're honest, we normally boast about how we are not like other people. Well, at least I'm not like that person over there, the drug addict, the backslidden Christian, that person with faulty theology, whatever it is. We find something, don't we? Very easy to compare ourselves with others. But we normally choose the people that we want to compare with. But Jesus has something to say to us about this kind of faulty thinking. This parable speaks to us because we can behave like the Pharisee. As I read this parable, I thought about the dangers of Roman Catholicism. Many Catholics would believe it's their religious works and traditions that impress God. Traditions are good, but they don't justify us before God, because the whole message is about being justified by God, found justified. Then I thought about, you know, our charismatic brothers and sisters in Christ, that within this many people boast about their spiritual experiences, having real strong focus on their experiences of God, and they can often look at others who don't experience them. And our experiences of God can be very real, but they don't justify us before God. And then I thought a little bit closer to home, I thought about our Reformed brothers and sisters, which I'm one of, and how we may boast in our theological understanding, our understanding of various doctrines, and how we may look down at our brothers and sisters in Christ and yet be doing the very similar thing as this Pharisee by boasting. We justify ourselves by saying our teaching and doctrines are the right ones. And good doctrines, good teachings are good things. But do they really impress God? Do good doctrines justify us before God? Good doctrines don't justify us. So if it's religious efforts, if it's religious traditions, if it's Christian experience or healthy doctrines, if they don't justify us, what does? Well, let's have a look at the tax collector in Jesus' parable. Let's look at verse 13. What does justify us? But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, the tax collectors, along with prostitutes and disabled people and the sick, were considered very much the outcasts in Jesus' day. Yet, they were often the people who really flocked to Jesus, hung around Jesus. In Luke 5:30, the Pharisees really got frustrated with Jesus and they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why do you hang around these sort of outcasts? Jesus was often stereotyped for associating his ministry with these social groups. Those were the people on the fringes of society, and generally the religious establishment at the time just rejected them. They looked down upon them. They looked down upon them as people who betrayed their own people. Maybe you think about the tax collector particularly. You know, he was a guy who was giving money to Rome. He was taking the Jewish money, giving it to the Roman Empire who were occupying them. He was a complete enemy of the Jewish people. He was a betrayer. And now if you lived as one of those outcasts and you looked at the religious lifestyle of the Pharisee, you would have felt, wow, I'm overwhelmed. You would feel hopeless. And you would naturally feel unworthy. You would naturally feel like it's impossible to impress God with my life. They would have felt beyond forgiveness. Remember, Jesus mentions in verse 9 that the Pharisee had contempt towards these sinners. And that's how they looked at those outcasts around them. But the good news is that Jesus is nothing like the Pharisee in this story. Jesus never boasts in his perfection. He never looks down on us in contempt when we fall short. And so Jesus uses this parable to show how God operates. It's a story of God's grace to sinners. Notice the tax collector when he prays. He never boasts in anything. The Pharisee, he's up the front in a prominent place in the temple, whereas the tax collector is standing back, sort of separated away from the Pharisee. I visualise the sort of Pharisee up the front row. No, you're not trying to have a go at people in front row today. And the tax collector, you know, is almost out the door, so there's no one there today. That's good. But I sort of imagine that sort of stereotype. Here he is way across there, look, barely wanting to come close to God because the temple was their place where they would have access to God in some sense. But here he is up the front. He thinks he's all cool and fine. And I'm sure the Pharisee, you know, it's obviously a story, but if it was real, he looked around, he would have been disgusted even to see that tax collector, even near the temple or at the temple. He would have insulted, he would have been angered. God should have no time for this sinner. Surely he has no understanding of the holiness of God. How could he even be here? And this tax collector knows he's got nothing to boast in. And he looks within himself, he sees all his guilt before God. And he feels ashamed and he can't even raise his eyes to look up at God. He feels the emotional pain. He beats his breast or his chest before God. This is a story of a man with a real heartfelt emotional cry to God. Verse 3, but the tax collector standing afar would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, look here. One looks at how righteous he is. That's a Pharisee. And the other looks at how sinful he is. But the key to Jesus' story is that one, only one, goes home justified. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That's the tax collector, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So the one who humbles himself is lifted up. Now, like I said, the idea of being justified is to be not guilty, declared innocent before God. It means that all our wrongs is erased, and that us as a person is no longer guilty before God. In Jesus' story, the shock answer is that it's the tax collector that goes home justified. You see, everyone listening would have thought, no, it's the Pharisee that should be going home. He's the one who's doing all the right things. Now, it's clear in the story that the tax collector shows himself to God in all humility, definitely. And humility is a clear lesson in Jesus' teaching here. That if you come to God boasting about how good you are, even though you may impress God and others, you will not be justified. You will not be impressing God. And so humility is a key. And that if you aren't humble, you'll actually be guilty of pride and contempt for others. But there's also something greater than humility. The picture of a God of mercy. The big picture Jesus wants us to see is how impressive God's grace is, how impressive the mercy of God is. That a tax collector, a sinner, can go home guilt-free and forgiven because of God's mercy. But our trust is coming to the God of mercy and grace. And coming to God and understanding his mercy will cause us to respond in humility. See, this parable hits our hearts with our everyday lives. You see, this story includes you, because we are one of these characters in Jesus' story. You're either the self-proclaimed good-living Pharisee, or you're the beating-your-chest confessing tax collector. You're either boasting before God how good you are, or humbly seeking mercy and grace because you feel the overwhelming weight of guilt and sin within your life. See, Jesus gets to the heart of our wrong kind of boasting. That you can't impress God by what you do. According to Jesus, only one of these men goes home justified. These are very important words from Jesus. We need to hear what Jesus is saying. Don't think like a Pharisee. Don't believe that you can impress God. Because when you worship God, it will become more about what you're doing than what God has done. You know, worship is giving worth to God. It's not about ourselves. Look at the list of the don'ts this Pharisee brings to God. I don't rip off people. I'm not dishonest. I don't commit sexual sin. I don't work for the enemy Rome and take taxes. Look at his do lists. This religious man brings to God. I do fast twice a week, which is more than the Old Testament required. I do give more than 10% of everything I receive, including my gifts, which was more than the Old Testament law required. Now, you could add many things to this. I pray so many times. I do much, much more things. He's basically coming to God to say, hey, God, remember, I'm one of the good ones. You've got to see the big picture of the religious guy Jesus uses. And isn't that what we can do sometimes also? Whether we follow Jesus or not. Don't we build our lives on a list of do's and don'ts? And then we judge others? We may say, yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm not like those other sinners. You can hear this when we talk about others, when we talk about other people's shortcomings. There are times we have some genuine concern about others and we want to get some advice, but many times when we're talking about others, we're actually using their failures to make ourselves feel justified and good. We simply love to boast in how great we are because we're not like them. Even Christians. Maybe that's your life right now. You're trying to impress God, you're trying to impress others with this religious life. But underneath it all, you're more interested in the worship of yourself rather than God. More concerned with putting on a good show around others, trying to convince people that you're someone great, like you're some sort of spiritual giant, and yet God sees right through it all and says, you fool, you're not going home justified. Because at the end of the story, the righteous man didn't impress God. He may have impressed himself and others. I mean, when I say righteous, he was a sinner, but he's saying that I'm a righteous man in that sense. God saw right through his righteous act. And Jesus tells us it is a sad and dangerous place to be. Rather than have the mindset of a Pharisee, rather than looking down from our self-made little religious platform with all our do's and our don'ts, rather than tearing other people down, we need to see ourselves before God. We need to hear Jesus speak that we won't be justified this way. We may feel puffed up for a moment, but we will not be justified. And I think if we are honest with God, we can swing from the pride to the contempt. We can go from the life of a Pharisee to the life of a tax collector as we live as a Christian. And in this parable, Jesus wants us to have a real wake-up call. We can often look at society and look at culture and look at the nice, neat, upright people and think, well, surely they're going to heaven. But you've got it wrong, Jesus says. Jesus tells us the righteous, good guy doesn't go home justified. And like the Pharisee, we can easily create our own religious rule book that's based on what we think is holiness and acceptance. And sadly, Jesus will tell us it was the other guy that was redeemed. It was the criminal that was redeemed. It wasn't the charity worker or the human rights activist that was redeemed. I'm not saying they can't be redeemed. I'm using it as a comparison, okay? There are emails. What Jesus is saying in this parable is that it's the repentant sinner who is accepted, not the boastful religious do-gooder. The tax collector, all he can do is plead for mercy and grace. And he is the one who goes home justified. Well, the one thing about Facebook and other social media is that it really does show the life you want people to see. But with God, he sees it all. You can't fake book life with God. You can't simply show God all the good things and think you will impress him. There is a permanent record within you of every good thing you've done and every bad thing you've done. God sees everything, that's your thoughts, your motives, and we have nothing to boast in when we look at those things ourselves. God sees them. What we have is guilt and shame. And when we know this, we should respond to God as the tax collector did. We plead to our God who is merciful to sinners. God is merciful to us when we come to him in repentance and faith. When we come to him and see that Jesus is the only solution to our shame. Because we really can't trust in our own righteous works. But what we can trust in is Jesus and his works, his righteous works on the cross. That through Jesus we are truly justified as we trust in his work on the cross. That Jesus took our guilt and shame because of sin. Jesus died the death that we deserve because of sin. So that we could be guilt-free and declared innocent before God. That we could be justified. That's what's so good about the gospel of Jesus. That's what's so good about Christianity. So good about what we have. That's why we want to share it with others. That sinners like a tax collector and outcast, people like you and me, have hope. People in our culture have hope. The one thing I love about this parable, and particularly when you read Jesus' ministry, and particularly the way they put stories and illustrations and stuff, is that there's no sinner or sin that's outside God's mercy and forgiveness. You see, the sinner who heard Jesus' word would have experienced hope. The people in that culture would have had hope. Hope that a sinner as bad as a tax collector could find mercy from God and could go home justified. That was a good thing. That was a great hope. That was a great news for them. That was the gospel. And that's hope for you and me. That's a core message of why Jesus came. The gospel is good news to sinners, of whom we all are. That's why we want to tell people about Jesus. Because Jesus' word gives us and them hope. That no one is too far from the mercy and forgiveness of God. Even this hated cultural tax collector, or the prostitute, or the con man, or the thief, or the drug addict, or the dealer, they can all be justified before God. Even in fact, this self-righteous Pharisee in Jesus' story, if they throw themselves at the mercy of God, they too can be justified. Because God is merciful. Today will you hear Jesus speak and respond to that mercy of God, to God, the God of mercy. Do you need to hear Jesus humbling you? Can you hear his voice? But it is not your good works that justifies you. It's only Jesus who justifies you. So we can put our faith and trust in him. That's what we need to do. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus. Do you hear Jesus encouraging you today as you feel alone in your sin? Feel alone like this tax collector. That you can go home justified. That you too, like him, can find forgiveness from a merciful God. And receive the grace of God through trusting in Jesus. Through trusting his work on the cross. Through that you can go home justified. Let's pray before I got my voice gone. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for such amazing mercy that you have. Lord, if it was the way we would think about how we need to get ourselves right with you, Lord, we'd be doing all sorts of crazy things. Lord, thank you for speaking to us so we know that we don't have to do those things. But Lord, everything in Christ has been done for us so we can find mercy and forgiveness. The Lord, on the cross, you have died for our sins. You have dealt with it once and for all. And we thank you for these words that just remind us of who you are. A merciful God. A gracious God. A loving God. Lord, help us not to be wound up in ourselves. Help us not to be thinking about how great we are, but Lord, let us throw ourselves at your mercy and see how great you are. How great that mercy that you showed in this parable to the tax collector. That mercy is available to us. Lord, we thank you that we know it. Lord, we pray through Jesus Christ that we can own it and apply it to our lives today. We pray this through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Okay, let's have a coffee, and I need some water, so God bless and encourage one another.